Welcome to our first episode of Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, and Something Blue. Today we have a very special guest here in Studio One, Mr. Shemek Shubstup.
Almost.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. The pronunciation is Przystup. It's a very difficult Polish name. Don't worry.
And Shemek is here with us today because he brought four special songs for him. A song that is considered old, a song that is considered new, a borrowed song that is a cover, and a blue song. The blue is up to interpretation, so let's go to see how it happens. So first, Shemek, can you introduce yourself to our listeners, and why did you choose your four songs, what they represent to you, and that's it.
Hi, my name is Przemek, and I came to study in Bournemouth this year from Poland. Small village called Ciechanki, which is next to Lublin, one of the biggest cities in Poland. And I decided to pick the songs that kind of connect with my life and represent kind of milestones. Basically, I was focusing on how do I feel when I listen to them and what do I remember. And I think those memories will be kind of fun to talk about.
Yeah, I bet they were. So let's start with Something Old. What did you choose for us today?
So it's a little bit embarrassing, but I chose Britney Spears and My Only Wish this year because it's Christmas soon. So I figured that it will fit not only to this program, but also to the nice Christmassy feel of the season. Yay!
Fantastic. Let's give it a listen.
Oh,
lovely Miss Britney Spears with My Only Wish. So, Shemek, how did you discover this song, when it was first released actually, and tell us about your experience with it?
So I believe it was released in just before Christmas 2000, or 1999. I think it was 2000. Maybe the release dates in Poland and the US, they differ, but I believe it was 2000 and I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was the craze for Britney Spears, like everywhere around the world, was massive. Like, I think everyone was listening to Britney, at least my friends and like us, we were all like, oh, all about Oops, I Did It Again and everything. And when we heard like she's releasing a Christmas song, we're like, oh my God, a Christmas song with Britney. And then she released the video with like dancing and elves and everything, and she had like live shows where probably lip sync because she can sing for yeah you know what. And it also reminded me a lot of Christmas at home, because me and my cousin, we used to we were the biggest Britney fans ever. Like, me and her, we could just listen and play to the songs like every day. We had the audio cassettes, you know, before CDs you had cassettes, and right. We had all two of them, and then later on three when Britney decided to release another album. And they would play and repeat until the tape was completely dead. So one of our favorite games was it was like a mini playback show. We would put Britney Spears cassette on and we would just like pretend that we are singing the song, you know, like lip sync it, and the other person with all of our plush toys would be the judges, like the panel. It would be like we were basically the first X Factor.
All right.
So it was hilarious because we were dressing up in my grandparents' clothes, like my grandma's, my grandfather's, because we were usually staying there when our parents were working. You should see me wearing like an old yellow t-shirt on my head, which was probably representing hair. And in my grandmother's dress, trying to sing either Santa Can You Hear Me or Baby One More Time, and then my cousin wearing my grandfather's tie, like being the bad schoolgirl and everything.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, we were very creative kids. And I wasn't a very confident kid as well. My cousin was 2 years younger than me, so she was 5 at that time. But she was the bully of the place. Like, I felt every single time we were playing, it would end up in a fight and she would win because I was weak. I was so weak. And she would force, well, not force me, I agreed to it, but we agreed on playing her toys and my toys, and her toys would be like this massive stack of Barbies and my toys would be just like two trucks and a sandbox or whatever. So basically we always ended up playing with her toys. Aww. And she had two dolls who were representing Britney. One was the blue Britney and one was the pink Britney. And you have to understand that we were kids, so we didn't really understand English. So for us, when she's singing Oh Baby, Baby and Baby One More Time, we thought that she's singing Byron, like this writer Byron. So we were calling the dolls Byronettes.
Oh my God.
And it was always a fight. Who will get the blue and who will get the pink Byron at this time? And we always like ended up quarreling and beating each other, not violently, just pulling our hair and stuff like that, basically. Like the normal cousin stuff that you do.
How is your relationship with her nowadays?
She's studying in Krakow right now, doing her bachelor's degree in American studies, I believe. So I believe that she's still into Britney.
Aww.
And yeah, whenever we meet up for Christmas, for family reunions, we always talk about it and like laugh so much at how weird and quirky we were. And yeah, we always bring up the Byronettes. Like, they are still somewhere in the attic. Like, they are still waiting for us to like come up, and when we're like 30 years old and start playing again, it's like Toy Story almost.
And talking about Britney, she of course on this song, she was like at the beginning of her musical career, and nowadays she has like a much different style of singing and producing songs. What do you think about Britney nowadays? Are you still a fan? And how do you feel about her changes on life? And
I mean, I was kind of sort of interested in what she was doing after the cute teenage pop period when she shaved her head and everything and then came back, and now she's this happy, clueless Britney as she usually presented herself. But, I listened to the previous album, Femme Fatale, I think it was called, because I thought it was very well produced, but I wouldn't say it was a Britney album. It was more about the producers that produced the tracks that was most interesting to me, because the way they used her vocals was just incredible. They just completely dehumanized her in this album and used her vocals as another instrument, which was very interesting. And the array of styles and solutions they used for a pop album, it was incredible at that time. I think it was 2007, and they had everything. They had like house, garage, dubstep elements and everything, but everything was in pop formula. Mm-hmm. Still, there were still pop songs, but the arrangements and the structure was completely different and from like taken from the alternative stage. So that I thought was very interesting, and I thought it was a very good pop album, like one of my favorite of that year probably.
Mm, nice. So let's move on to something new. What did you bring us today for something new?
I'm bringing a very cool band called Roman Eclef from New York, and the song is called Roman Clay.
Okay, let's give it a listen. Just listen to Roman Clay. So Shemek, you chose this song for something new, although this song has a lot of kind of 80s vibe and this kind of freedom. So how do you feel about this song and why did you bring it today?
Well, 80s are in always, I guess. But yeah, I agree with you. Like the style that Romana Clef has, especially on their last album, is a little bit like Cocktail Twins, something that you would listen in the 80s. And I really, really kind of like this retro vibe. But I think the lyrics also are very like commenting on what is happening with my life right now. When I move to a new place, when I'm meeting new people, all my friends are left home with their lives and they kind of chose a different path because they already like started their jobs and starting families, some of them, which is very weird for me because I wouldn't be able to do it right now at this point of my life. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like leaving your past behind and moving forwards, and that's what the song is about as well.
This song, despite of being something new, it reminds you of your past. But what are your perspectives for the future here in Bournemouth? What do you think it's coming for you, and how do you feel about it?
Well, hopefully after I finish my master's, I'll be able to start assisting on sets in order to build up my portfolio, build up my experience, and gradually move on into the great mysterious world of filmmaking. I was also quite interested about music videos because I think they're coming back because recently we had kind of a hiatus when everyone's just releasing lyric videos and something made like on your with your phone in 5 minutes, or like, I don't know, or spending so much money just to get like Kanye West involved in your video. Like, I think it's not going into the right direction, and I wish the thinking behind music videos like we had in the 90s when we had massive budgets, when we have actual artists working on music videos, I wish that could come back, and I would like to be a part of it. So hopefully it will happen, and hopefully bands such as Romana Clef or any other band wishes their music not only be, you know, represented on screen with some lyrics and just some mouths singing, but also is something creative and visually attractive. Hopefully they'll be able to work with me. Yay.
You have a very musical background, right? You sing and you always were interested in music videos. So what do you think that influenced you in the most about your style of making it, and what do you want to produce for that?
I've been trained in jazz and classical singing since I was a kid. So I always had this sense for rhythm, structure, tone. Like I could always hear it, and I think it's kind of represented in my films as well, because I could see it in my assessment portfolio. Even everything is kind of on point and very rhythmical. Like I like structure, and don't get me wrong, I like to riff and improvise a little bit as well, but I think structure is very important. Like if you've got a clear structure of a song, of a film, then you can improvise on top of it and make it special, because when you start with nothing, you can create something amazing when you improvise. But sometimes, and that's usually the case, it's just going to be uncontrolled mess and chaos, and I don't like it. So yeah, that's my style.
So besides that song from Romana Clef, that kind of style, 80s vibe, what else do you think that related to that song that you like, your influence and what you usually listen to?
I have this thing when I pick two or three albums for each season of the year, and I think this album matches perfectly for this year's autumn, which is kind of gloomy, but at the same time we have a lot of sun, and the colors of the leaves this autumn were so beautiful. Like, and I, when I was listening to this song on his headphones and just like walking around, it was the perfect soundtrack to this autumn. So yeah, I'm kind of going to miss it during winter when I get to pick another album, but I'm sure next year it will come back, because they always do. I always come back to the albums that I was listening to in that particular season.
That's interesting, because first you pick a song about Christmas, so it's winter time. Now you chose a song that autumn time. Do you think that the next ones are about summer and spring?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where the conversation takes us.
Okay, so next one is Something Borrowed. That means that you chose a cover song. What is it? Can you present to us?
Yes, it's An Ice Machine by Roy Xop and Suzanne Sundfør, which is a cover of Depeche Mode, the song under the same name, Ice Machine.
Okay, let's go. Our cover song for today, it was a cover song of Ice Machine by Depeche Mode originally. So Shamek, which version do you prefer, this one or the original one?
Well, I was taught to like the original because my father is a massive Depeche Mode fan, and in high school I was always every morning I was he was driving me to school because he was working in the same city, so it was about 30-minute drive from our place, and every single day we would listen to his music. And basically, one of the bands was Depeche Mode. And at first, I was dreading every single car journey because I don't really like his voice. I don't really like that kind of industrial electronica style of music, but I don't know, as time went by, I learned to like it, and especially this song was, it was a B-side on one of the singles, I don't remember which one even, but this song was very, very like impressive and cool and kind of gritty, and I really liked the style of it. So when I heard that Royksopp and Susanne Sundfør, one of my favorite, absolute favorite Norwegian artists, are making the cover, I was super excited, and I showed it to my father when it was released because I fell in love instantly with it. And he really liked it as well. He added it to his playlist and he listens to it in the car. So I believe we had a connection there.
So apart from Depeche Mode, what else do your father likes to listen? And do you think that your kind of taste of music is influenced by him or not? It's totally different.
Actually, it kind of is, because before we listened to Roman Clay, which was heavily influenced by Cocteau Twins, which is another one of the bands that my dad was listening to. And actually, he was telling me a story that when he was at his university in Warsaw, it was communism back in the 80s in Poland. So it was very difficult to get the albums from abroad. So he would just listen to the radio at like very strange hours, because these were the only hours when the foreign music was being played, like 3 a.m. in the morning. And he would just stay there with his cassette player and record tape all of his favorite bands. Like one of them was Cocteau Twins, and he still has the cassettes. Probably they're all not working because the tape, and after a couple of years it's just impossible to use. But yeah, that's how he, it was much more difficult for him to get this kind of music, and I think that's quite impressive that he had this dedication to sit there and record and just, you know, spread it to the world, like to me, to mom, to everyone.
You said that when you were younger, he would say, oh, let's not listen to your songs because you know anything about it. Let's hear my songs. So do you think that nowadays, if you could play your playlist, your father would approve it?
Some of it, yeah, as long as there was no Britney involved. For some reason, he doesn't really like the American pop of the early 2000s. But yeah, the bands, I think the bands that I right now I'm like constantly listening to, he would listen to as well, because that's kind of this style, kind of alternative rock, alternative pop, kind of heavily influenced by the style of the 80s, I think. So yeah, I think we would find a consensus when we were when we would be creating a playlist for a party or something.
Oh, cool.
Or a family reunion.
Oh, you have this habit of organizing parties, right? You organize them one time.
Yeah, it's not a habit. It's more like an addiction. So every year I organize something called Cehanalia, which is this massive party in my house. And usually we destroy like half of it. I mean my house. And my parents are usually just like, oh, you. But last year...
Classic Shemek.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, a chair is broken, a glass is broken, that's fine. But last year there was about 35, 40 people at my place, which is an okay number. Like, I had bigger. And the party was going great. Everything was wonderful, fun, and yeah, everyone was having so much fun. And then I don't know which song was it playing, because everything was a blur, plus the alcohol was involved, so everyone was slightly inebriated, to say very delicately. And I hear a loud bang, which doesn't sound very good because it's a bang of glass, and suddenly there's just massive wave of water just surrounding us because somebody punched the aquarium, made a massive hole in it and flooded my house. So yeah, since then I haven't had a party at home since last summer. No, not last summer, the summer before. But the parties are coming back this New Year's Eve, so hopefully there will be no more destruction. And hopefully the playlist as well will include something more than Britney. But my dad is not staying, they're going away, so...
Okay. So we learn about your father's taste in music, but how about your mom? What does she like, and what your parents do?
So my father works in a bank, He works in mortgages. But before he worked, we had a farm, and we were growing tomatoes, mushrooms, wheat, and other kind of crops. My mom was firstly helping around at the farm, and then she became a teacher. She started teaching in 1994, I believe, so 2 years after my birth. And she teaches up till now. She teaches maths and IT in an elementary school. So it's quite a fun job, I believe.
And what kind of music does she likes to listen to?
She's a complete opposite of my dad, who's like kind of like this alternative, yeah, rocky, like, you know, Cocktail Twins and stuff. She loves to listen to ballads. She loves Adele. She loves Whitney Houston. She loves like the very cheesy Polish music that they have, like the, you know, the chanson, the d'amour, basically anything that sounds like your grandmother would listen to, my mom would listen to as well. And anything that's very like embarrassing, and you wouldn't listen to it because it's just ridiculous, and you're like, oh my god, it's playing on the radio again. She has on her playlist on repeat. Yeah, so she's that kind of mom.
What would she think about this cover version of Ice Machine?
I believe that she would turn it off because she would say it's a little bit too noisy for her, and like she can't really hear the melody, and how can she she would say, how can you sing to that?
Oh, typical of mothers. So let's move on to our last song, that is Something Blue. This Something Blue song, it's really up to the interpretation of our guest. So what did you choose for a Something Blue song?
I chose another Norwegian artist under the name of Fever Ray. She's the lead vocalist of the Norwegian band The Knife. And the song is Keep the Streets Empty From Me, used in the movie Heartbeats by Xavier Dolan.
Okay, let's go.
Keep the streets empty for me.
was Keep the Streets Empty for Me, which Shemek here considers as a blue song. So, Shemek, how did you discover that song? What does it make you feel, and why do you consider that something blue?
Well, at first I thought something blue would mean a sad song, or a song that makes you feel sad, but then I don't really think about blue when I'm sad. I think more about like black and grey and that kind of a range of colours, something desaturated and kind of bland, because blue for me, it's a beautiful, it's one of my favourite colours actually. And it's more about the cold, about the precision, and about like the rough part of life, which has completely nothing to do with this song, although the structure and the style of the song would suggest so, because it is kind of icy, cold, is very rough, with very rough rhythm. But the circumstances I discovered this song and how it changed my life kind of are completely different. I first heard this song when I watched Xavier Dolan's film Heartbeats. The soundtrack to this film is amazing, actually. I had a very difficult time to pick a song to give to you guys, so give it a listen. No sponsorship. This film, released in 2009, so just before I went to university, it was a game changer for me. When I saw this film, I thought to myself, oh my God, I want to know how it was done. I want to be able to create something beautiful as this. Up to this day, it's one of my favorite films. And whenever I watch it, I have this impossible to explain kind of feeling, whenever I think about it even, of how is it possible to create something that moves you so much, and something that with just the image and just the music, because there's really nothing happening on screen that's that big or that significant. The story is just about two friends falling in love with the same guy, and it's something that happens on a daily basis, but the way it's shown is just, it moved me to the point that I wanted to actually do this. I wanted to work in the film industry. I wanted to learn how to create such images and find my own way to provoke others as the film provoked me.
Is there a specific part of the movie that really moved you? What's the favorite part of you in that movie?
Well, it's also difficult to say, because like every single scene in this movie is touching in a way. For example, the scene connected with that song, it's like the pivotal moment of the film when the cards are on table, like everybody knows what's happening, and the friends are just becoming the worst enemies just because of this guy. And the energy and the emotion that comes on the screen was just so much. I felt like on the edge of my seat. Like I felt more actual excitement and emotion and despair and stress when I was watching this film than when I was watching any kind of action movie or thriller. Like I just felt so much when I watched it, and I keep on feeling it when I rewatch it. So I think that's the power of cinema.
Oh, cool. And about more of this song, do you like any more songs of this band, or just this song in particular?
Fever Ray, she's weird, so that kind of relates to me in a way. When you see her, she's always dressed as a shaman or like a witch, and I feel like she speaks to me. Like her music is kind of similar, the songs are kind of similar to each other, but each of them has something distinct that you really want to listen to. I just really wanted to say that this song basically and that film just turned my life around. So
thank you, Shemek, for sharing this with us. It was great.
It was a pleasure.
That was Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue here on Burst. I'm Liana, and I hope you enjoyed. Thank you. Bye-bye.